Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Good morning, church. My name is Stefana. I'm an intern in PGAFC, and I'm Indonesian. And I'm proud to be Indonesian. I mean, with the satay, with the indomie, right? You've probably seen my boyfriend, as what Pastor Juat said. He preached 2 weeks ago about the gospel according to TikTok. And as you know, Larry and I, we love to eat. We love to try any food in Malaysia, except Fiji. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, Larry said Malaysia's bak kut teh made him born again. Do you remember? But let me tell you, he says that about every food. So today, I'll be sharing a topic still in the series of digital discipleship about digital isolation. But now, I think I have the privilege to say that this comes right from the heart of Gen Z. So, if you have your Bible with you, let us open together Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. And a little bit of context to start, the book of Hebrews was written to believers who were drifting away. Some because of persecution, others out of spiritual fatigue. So if you look at the chapter 7 to 10, we could see how the writer talks about exposition of Christ's sacrifice and priesthood. So he talks a lot about how Christ's work has reconciled our relationship with God and also with one another. And then starting this chapter 10, verse 19 to 39, which is the passage we're going to look at, he turns to exhortation to the community. So can I just invite everybody to read this exhortation together with me? Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 25. 1, 2, 3. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So, why did the writer of Hebrew write this exhortation? Why he write this command for the people? It's because at that time, some believers had stopped gathering. The reasons vary, maybe out of fear, because that time were a lot of persecution happening, disappointment, could be coldness, could be indifference. There are a lot of interpretation about why they stopped gathering. But one thing is clear, that they are disconnected from the community. And the writer of Hebrew clearly warned us against this danger of isolation from the community. And I guess this verse is very familiar to us, usually used by those who attend physical church to rebuke those who attend online church. Hey, the Bible says you need to come to church physically, you know, because the online churches are not real. And when Larry and I brainstorm about the digital ministry, about the vision, one of the biggest questions from friends around us is that whether what we are doing is real or not. Or maybe against the Bible, who teach us to meet one another in the form of body and flesh. And this verse comes out more often than we think. People come to Larry, hey Larry, this is not a real ministry. You are doing something in the screen. It's not real. You need to come to church. And one thing I need to clarify before I go on is that if you're wondering whether this sermon will talk about which church is better, physical or online, you might not get the answer. Because today, I want to invite all of us to see something beyond the screen, which will be the title of my sermon. So the writer of Hebrews is not warning us about digital gathering. I mean, definitely, I don't think the writer of Hebrews know what is Zoom, what is Google Meet. But he's warning us about disconnection. And we too live in an age of disconnection. We have more ways to connect than ever. Yet, we feel more alone than ever. We can message someone across the world, but struggle to talk to the person next to us. I mean, look at your right and left. Awkward, right? So, how many of you parents ever tell your children, hey, please play more on your phone? Come, play your phone more. None, right? Because all of us assume that the screen is where people get lost in connection. And I'll be honest with you, I have a second Instagram account. So, for parents, there is this app called Instagram, where we can post photos, we can post songs we like, we can comment and like one another's photos. So everyone made an account, right? But I made two. Two accounts, one with my name, and one with just a random alphabet so people cannot recognize me. And why would I do that? Why would I do that? Because in the first account, I will make it public. I could show you how happy I am. I mean, you can check in your Instagram. Tiffy and I with double A, you will find me. I could post my family pictures, my food pictures, how happy I am in Malaysia, studying, interning, having a good church that love me, PJFC. I can post Bible verses, post Christian songs. So when my uncle and auntie look at my Instagram, they will get jealous. They will say, "Aiya, Tiffana, you have a good life in Malaysia. And she's a successful theology student. She's so holy, so mature, so nice." But for my second account, I will make it private. Only a chosen few close friends that can really see what I actually post. Usually when I feel sad, I will post a story, black color background, sad songs, motivational quotes. And when I'm angry, I will post a quote. "I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you." So the account might be a little bit messy, more real than the first one. And I feel more connected in the second account because only the chosen close friends are in this account. But you know what? The truth is, I still feel lonely even if I get two accounts. Because the problem is not what's on the screen. The problem is what's in my heart. So behind every screen is not just an account or a profile picture, but it's a person longing to be seen, to be known, and to be loved. And I know this feeling is not strange for the older generations. Maybe 20 years ago, we don't have Instagram, even Facebook or social media, but we have disco. We go clubbing to find friends. And I just know this from my supervisor. Let's not expose her name and her age. But we got something called ICQ, right? Instant messaging program. Or we got MSN Messenger, where you can chat with strangers asking ASL, age, sex, location, to connect with people around the world. Or we might not post pictures on social media, but we might dress nicely at school events to find friends, to look good in front of our crush. Maybe we go to church every Sunday, but only to see good-looking boys, good-looking girls. So the longing is the same. We want to have connection. We want to feel love. We want to be known by people. It just appeared in a different way. In fact, if we look at the Bible, from the very beginning, God never designed us to live in isolation. In Genesis, before sin even entered the world, God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." So community is not just human need, but it's a divine design from God. And I also took Dr. Harris and Reverend Alexa's class in MBS that talks about this modern research. This is the recent one, 2025. And you can check this out too. There's so many research about this that talks about loneliness is highly associated with physical pain. It triggers the same part of the brain. So our souls are literally wired for connection. But here's what is important. Physical gathering cannot heal a disconnected heart. You can be surrounded by hundreds of people in the church and still feel unseen. Because the real solution is not physical presence, but a new heart that is renewed in Christ. Because only a heart that is transformed by the gospel can truly build a community that connects our heart. So yes, definitely digital exposes our problem. I mean, look at us, young people, joking. But yet, we haven't seen the real problem. The digital world only reveals the same fallen nature that has always existed in every generation. So approaching this verse, The problem is never the physical gathering or digital gathering, but the heart that is disconnected. And there are so many more things to see beyond the screen. And as a Gen Z, can I invite all of us to stop seeing digital space as a bad thing and start seeing it beyond the screen? And just what Larry said, because beyond the screen, there are humans that make a neutral tool to be the idol of the heart. And it is true for connection, because humans will do anything to hide their sin. Our sinful nature avoids connection because it reveals our sin. Our digital age has made hiding easier. We filter photos, we pick and choose which photo to post, only the good one, the bad one, delete, delete, hide it. We are used to it. Because of the screen, we dare to say bad things more confidently than in real life. How many of us would confess that we say more bad things through our finger than our mouth? And because of the screen, we run from accountability. We start texting inappropriately with the opposite gender when we already have a partner. I mean, it's not cheating, lah, right? It's texting only. The relationship in online is not real, right? We live in our sins, what we blame it on the platform. But here's the truth. Even if we take away the screen, the problem will still exist. Because we have lost the real meaning of connection because of our sinful nature since the beginning. You know, the moment Adam and Eve took that fruit, humanity lost its connection with God. So we are searching to have that connection again, everywhere, but it never fulfills. And the digital space just exposes that more. It amplified our sin for longing for connection. And I guess Reverend Alexa and Larry have made this clear that the goal for us is not to get off the phone or the internet. We cannot avoid the digital. It's inevitable. But if we keep blaming the internet because of our sinful nature, we will never come out from that. Because face it or not, with or without the screen, we will still lose the connection. Many parents today tell their children, don't play with your phone too much. Stop spending your time so much on social media. I mean, my parents did that too. But maybe the deeper question is, how can we as parents also build the kind of connection at home that our children are longing for? So when we look back on the gathering, the mindset of, as long as I come church on site, I'll be fine. It doesn't solve the problem. Because people who attend a physical church can have the same behavior as those who stay online. It just appears in a different way. We come to church, let's say service start at 9:30, right? Okay lah, I will come at 9:40. I come at 9:40 so people are busy worshiping, they are singing, right? So they won't talk to me. I come at 9:30. And then slightly before service, slightly before benediction, I will rush back to the car park, rush back, chow and eat lunch, so people cannot greet me, so people cannot talk to me. Same thing. We avoid relationship, we avoid caring and loving one another, and this is exactly what the Hebrews say, that we shall not neglect to meet one another. We blame our disconnection to the platform, but the real problem is beyond the screen. The greatest wall that separates believers today, it's not the wall of building or screens, but it is the wall of the heart, because our hearts are disconnected from each other. Even inside church building, people can hide grudges behind smiles. Good morning, happy Sunday, welcome to church. Long time no see, ah? Busy lo. Sorry. But also, even on live streaming, we can say, I will come watch online. I will make time, 1 hour, I will not play phone one. But during sermon, Instagram, we click, amen, hallelujah, what a good sermon. But inside also, we never engage with the people inside the screen. Same thing. So let us agree on this, that this connection doesn't start with distance. It starts when our heart stops seeing other people the way God does. And church, if the wall that disconnects us is the heart that is sinful, then who do you think can truly tear it down? Definitely not better technology. Definitely not better strategy. But someone who can heal the heart. Can I invite everybody to read this together with me? Verse 19 to 20. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. So there is no longer isolation in digital space. There is no longer heartless attendance in physical space, but only a community that is transformed by Christ, who unites everyone in himself. But is that even possible? Is that even possible for us to have genuine relationship with one another? How can I do that? Doesn't it sound so hard? I mean, hearing the word people and relationship also scares me. And do you know why it is hard for us to connect with one another genuinely? Because we don't know Christ. Maybe we have reduced our faith into something too personal. I mean, I go to church. I read my Bible. My relationship with God is fine. But Christ's work is never meant to stop there. The more we know Christ, the more we would understand that he doesn't only reconcile our relationship with God, but also with one another. So Hebrews remind us that when we draw near to God, we will also draw near to one another as the church, as the community, as the body of Christ. And in the verse 21, Hebrews said, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So our relationship with one another and with God is not based on our performance. It's not based on how good we are. It's not based on how friendly we are, how extroverted we are. I mean, if it's based on our extroverted, then only Reverend Alexa is qualified for the relationship, right? But praise the Lord, it is based on Christ's work that makes it possible. Because the more we draw to Christ, the more we see his love, his grace, and not our sin, and not other people's sin, or our weaknesses, or our other people's weaknesses. We build a strong relationship that is not based on how beneficial the relationship is, but on how God has called us to be one body in him. Really, because if we want to depend on our performance, being a body of Christ would be impossible. Because we are human. We fight, we disagree, we hide when things are not comfortable. And this is what I meant when I say I was not going to say whether physical is better or physical is right or online is wrong or vice versa. Because the answer is not physical or digital, but it's a Christ-centered community. This explains why community is possible. Because Jesus opened the way through his body, tearing the veil, and he became our priest who unites us to God and to one another. Because of him, every wall between God and us, Jew, Gentile, on-site, online, is torn down so we can stir up one another with good works and joining the fellowship Jesus died to create. And that's the heart of Christian community, a presence that costs something. It costs sacrifice. It costs us to be humble. It costs us to throw away our ego. It costs us to throw away our comfort. It costs us to resist our sinful nature. Why? Why? Because it cost Jesus the cross to make this possible. So we no longer see the people who attend online churches as lazy. They are lazy, like they don't want to drive one. They don't want to get out of the room. No, we no longer see people who attend church physically as hypocrites. They also hypocrite, what? They come every Sunday to church but never talk to each other. They also never talk nice thing to me. What's the point? No, because we all simply have a sinful heart and longing for one that can truly connect us, Jesus. So the question changed from, hey, why do you always attend church online? Ah? The church there is not real, you know. You need to follow me on Sunday. It changed into, hey, what's interesting on that phone that makes you think the church there is better? How can I make you feel more connected with the body of Christ? Just as Jesus didn't save us by sending a message from heaven, he came to the world himself. He didn't zoom in a meeting to save us. He didn't say, hey, I'm on the meeting already. I'm going to save your life. Wait, I'm going to die on the cross by sharing screen. He didn't say that. He incarnate to human. He drew near to us to take our sins so we could connect and have a relationship with him and with one another again. So by this, he redeems every space, whether it's sanctuary, screen, to become sacred ground where his presence dwells. So now whether you are on-site or online, Jesus is near. He is there and he is with you. And I don't think we could say that Jesus is not present when people worship online. I know so many of my friends know Jesus through online church. I know I do. After I graduated high school, which is online, graduation too, I stay at home a year before I come here. To fill my time, I joined this one Christian community called Real Youth Community. Yeah, they are real, real youth community. It's a bunch of young people that have a longing to study about the Word of God, but they have been hurt by the church. So they make a gathering online once a week to just talk and share about God. The left side is a clubhouse, an application that was viral during pandemic time, but I think now the application no more. So there are a lot of people coming. Some strangers just came. There are pastors, doctors, lawyers, students, suddenly just appear and discuss about the Word of God together. And I met Larry there. Yeah, that's why it's not dating app. It's this community. So he was talking and sharing about LGBTQ++, so passionate about it. And I was like, oh. So here we are now serving together in Malaysia. And I would say that particularly 1 year is the most valuable year in my life. That changes my faith, grows my relationship with God apart from my parents, because I grew up as a pastor kid. And it was a very rough journey back then. And all of that is in my room, only me and my laptop. So whether we gather in the building or through a screen, the calling remains the same. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. It means to intentionally awaken love and good works in each other. John Calvin once wrote in his commentary about this book of Hebrews, he said, if we work so hard for those outside the church, how much more should we care for those already inside? So here's the questions for us today. If we say we care about people far from God, why don't we also care for those in the digital space who are also longing, who are also searching for connection? Because in Christ, the only wall that truly matters, the one between God and us, has already been torn down. So now there is no longer a barrier. The invitation for all of us is together again. And I strongly believe that Hebrew is not just calling us to come to church. But beyond that, Hebrew reminded us that Jesus has broken the wall of sin so we could belong again, to connect again to the community of God. So we can stir up one another with a genuine relationship. And don't get me wrong, church. Don't get me wrong. I do believe the Bible in so many other parts command us to meet physically, definitely. For me and my online community friends, after connecting for so long, all we want is to just meet physically. Trust me, hundreds of plans have been made just for us to meet in person. Some really come from Central Java, other island, to Jakarta to just see me for 1 day. And fun fact, domestic flight in Indonesia is so expensive. So they bought a ticket only to just see me for one day. Why? Why? Because we already have the connection. We have a strong relationship that we would do anything to meet one another. So yes, God calls us together, but not to take attendance, but not to take photos for our Instagram stories. He calls us together because He is the one who makes connection and relationship possible. Yes, physical space gives us the opportunity, but Christ gives us the unity. And the calling is to draw near to the community of God. So from a digital native to another digital native, we don't need to hide our faces anymore. We can come to the physical church, not because it is better, but because we are better together. Because Christ has made this possible. And how many of us here still have the wall that disconnects? Even when you are here on site, we don't have to avoid each other again. The call is to come to the community with a renewed hearts to see that Jesus' body is bigger than our platforms. His love is wider than our preference. The call is to go mama. The call is to go kopitiam, to yamcha. I mean, it sounds fun when we talk about food while connecting with one another, right? But when it comes to different opinions, it's hard. When it comes to letting our pride go, it's hard. When it comes to letting ourselves be misunderstood by other people, definitely it's difficult. It's because we are still living in a fallen world. But to all the hearts that are longing for true and real connection, here is the good news. Every person who belongs to the body of Christ can have that genuine relationship. Because He has made it possible, not us. So we can have a genuine relationship with one another again. But the question is, as Jesus drew near to us, would we also want to draw near to one another as we draw near to God? So this is a hope for us that digital matters. People matter. A calling that everyone is invited to contribute to make a change in the digital world, just as how we are called in the physical world. The church mission is not to fight the digital world, but to fill it with the presence of Christ, with the genuine connection, and with the news that as a body of Christ, we are never alone. And to serve beyond the screen, we must first serve through the screen. Because when we love beyond the screen, we reflect the God who went beyond heaven to reach us, to become a part of His body. Jesus didn't say in heaven, stay there and yell, hey, human, you live in sin. Your world is corrupted. Come to heaven, repent. No, Christ came down to earth. He came down to the corrupted world, to the sinful world, to save us, to restore our hearts to God. So church, come, draw near to the altar of the Lord. One thing that we could tapau, bungkus, from today's message is this. The problem is not the screen, but the disconnected heart. And Christ came not just to reconnect us to each other, but to restore our hearts to God and to one another. So let us close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for reminding us today that You are the God who breaks every wall. Thank You for sending Jesus Christ, who came down to earth, died on the cross, so that we might belong to You and to one another again. Thank You that we don't have to live in our sins anymore. Teach us, Lord, to see beyond the screen, to see the faces, the hearts, the souls that You love. Forgive us for the times we have hidden behind our walls of pride, fear, comfort, or indifference. Would You, Lord, once again, restore in us a heart that stirs one another to love and good works. Whether we meet in person or through the screen, help Your church
to be a bridge and not a barrier. Let our digital spaces carry your presence, and our physical gatherings reflect your love. Make us one body, Lord, united by your cross. And as we go out from here, fill us with your Spirit to love one another, to serve beyond comfort, and to reflect the God who went beyond heaven to reach us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.